You don't see this man searching out Jesus. In fact, how could he? He was blind. This is a picture of man in his need. It's a question of sight here, but it's spiritual sight. And man has no spiritual sight naturally. God has given us eyes as to natural things, but man is absolutely without sight spiritually. He has none. It has to be given of God. Now the Jews should have known this. They should have known that Jesus was God because it's prophesied in the Old Testament, the 29th chapter of Isaiah, 15th verse. And in that day, that's the millennial day, shall the deaf hear the words of the book, the Bible. And the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity, out of darkness. Now that's the millennial day. When the Lord Jesus came, he would have introduced that day, but they did not believe. And so he sets aside his purpose for Israel, and he calls in the church and the Gentiles. And so when he comes back again, after the church is born, gathered to heaven, then this will be true in his full character. Eyes of the blind will see. Ears of the deaf shall hear. That is physically. But during this period of the kingdom of the heavens, where everything is a mystery, only the spiritual mind can enter into and understand. That won't be so in the millennial day. They will literally, physically see and hear. But now it's a matter of spiritually hearing and seeing. This man was blind from his birth. We find that there may have been occasions when somebody was temporarily blinded. I'm not thinking of any right now, but there could be. But the fact that this man was blind from his birth showed that he had absolutely no ability to see from the very day he came into this world. Now, when one is sick and their eyes may be bad, someone may be able to help them to see a little better. But here's something that's absolutely of a different character. Here's someone that never has had sight. Never. Only God could give sight to the blind. Born blind. Now this is man in his natural state, and he has to have help, or he never will see eternal things. And when Jesus is here, and they reject him, then they will be blind forever. That's the last verse, what that means. For sin remains. The sin is unbelief. The Jews were used to the government of God. That's the second verse. They knew that whatsoever man sowed, he reaped. And so, his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin? Somebody must have sinned. This man or his parents, that he was born blind. Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, that the work of God, works of God, should be made manifest in him. This man is likened to a piece of clay in the potter's hand. We get that a little later in the chapter. He's absolutely blind. It's not a question of his sin or his parents' sin. It's a question of God coming in and using the condition of the natural man and to show his mighty power to glory. This is the case with each one of us. We may not realize it. When God took us up, it was because we were absolutely blind. We could not see spiritually in any way. Now, the Lord isn't saying, really, that this man had never sinned in the sense we speak of it, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But there was a special sin in John that's prominent, and that's unbelief. Unbelief. You get that also in the book of Romans. I should have said Hebrews. Chapter 3 and verse 17. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned? Now what was their sin? These carcasses fell in the wilderness, and to whom swear he that they should not enter his rest, but to them that believe not. It's unbelief is their sin. Those that are sin themselves, they believe not. He doesn't speak even there about the fact of all of the sins that were against them in the wilderness when they disobeyed God. That's not That's not what he has before him. It's a question of unbelief. Now turn to Hebrews 12. Wherefore, seeing we also, the first verse, compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, and not the sin, but in sin, which doth so easily beset us. That's unbelief. The question here is, do they believe? Those who believe are looking unto Jesus, the beginner and finisher. The word beset would be better, be entangled us instead of beset us. So unbelief, not only for Israel, but very prominent in Christendom. This is what characterizes Christendom. That's why men are today what they are in a religious way. They do not believe the word of God. The night cometh when no man can work. When is the night? It's the end of the day of apostasy. No man can work. At the end of the tribulation, there's no possibility. Except the church is gone. No possibility. Nothing but eternal judgment. But today is the accepted time. Today is the salvation. The day of salvation. So he says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh, the moment. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. But now he's gone. And so we have in Philippians, on whom you appear as lights. This reflected light now, our contact with the Lord in heaven, gives the believer to shine or appear. There's all this testimony. That's Philippians. Among whom you appear. That's lights in the world, it should be. But when he was here, the only light world, when his work was finished, and he went to heaven, he left a company of witnesses, believers. And they were the lights reflected. His light was reflected in his people after he went away. And when he had spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the stone. Another translation says mud. Leave mud. Clay, mud is clay, water added to it. And that's man, simply clay. In fact, Adam means red earth. Red earth. But the water is the word, pool of Siloam. How beautiful when we can meditate and find the meaning of these parables, or whatever they might be. Now, for anyone other than Jesus to do this would be defiling. Remember when the Lord said to Mary, if someone had spit in her face, would she not be unclean? Of course, would be unclean. But if the Lord Jesus did it, she wouldn't be. Because there's no defilement comes from Jesus in any way. Everything that he brought into this world, this person, when he became man, who had his healing, that is, that's Jesus, the Savior. But still, it's clay. Mud now because of the water mixed with it. This is man who is manifesting him in his lowest character, and now the application of the Word of God anoints the eyes of the man with the clay. And said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. Now this takes faith. Remember when Naaman, the Syrian, was told to go wash in the Jordan. Oh, he said, are not the rivers of Damascus, Arbana, and Pharpar better than all the waters of Israel? But his servant said, they asked you to do some great thing. You don't go and do what he said. So he did. His leprosy was cleansed because he obeyed the word of the prophet. That's what we have here. Obedience. He obeys. The pool of Siloam, it says, which is by interpretation sent. Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is interpreted sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, came, seeing. The application of this spittle to the clay manifested man in his lowest character so that the Lord Jesus can take nothing now and make something of it. That's what he did in creation. He made something of nothing. And when man comes to that point, then there's blessing. We have a picture in this chapter, besides the healing of this man's eyes, of several ways in which the believer is tested once he believes. And the first test is the neighbors. Now, your neighbors know you pretty well, you know. God is going to allow them to test you to see whether you're going to be true to Christ or not. You might be kind, generous even, but that doesn't mean that you're true to Christ. Because each believer has a testimony in this world. And the neighbors will prove you, and prove me to see whether there's any testimony left. Now they had seen him that was blind, said, "Is not this he that sat and begged?" Some said, "This is he." Others said, "He is like him." What's he going to say? "I am he." He confessed that he sat and begged. He confesses his low position, even though now he's been healed. Though they say, "How were thine eyes opened?" He's being tested further, because the Spirit of God is going to bring out glory to Christ. He answered and said, "A man that is called Jesus, Savior, made clay, made mud, and anointed mine eyes, and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash, and I went and washed, and I received sight." Now he confesses that he received sight, and he confesses that Jesus did it. You have a thought, Jim?
No, I'm just thinking of how simple his answer was to those who asked. He told them that the Lord told him to go wash, and he said, "And I went and washed."
That's the simplicity of faith with you. And now they're going to ask him, "Where is he?" He said, "I know not." We have a beautiful picture here of someone that was under the power of the Spirit of God. He does not go beyond what's been told. He doesn't venture. "I don't know where he is," he says. Perfectly honest. "I don't know where he is. I know what he did, but I don't know where he is." He hadn't been enlightened yet. Now we're going to see the Pharisees brought in. They're testing.
But we refuse to face up and own what is true. We let it slip. Let someone else do it. And we find the neighbors here, first of all, were tested. Verse 8. They have the opportunity to give witness. The next thing we have, the Pharisees, verse 13. It was a Sabbath day because the Lord allowed this, or did his miracles often on the Sabbath day purposely, because the Sabbath day was a sign between the Lord and his people. And now they had broken it. So the Lord Jesus takes them up on that ground. They're having broken the Sabbath, and that's when he does his miracles. Not always, but often. Now the Pharisees asked him how he got his eyes open. So he put clay on them. I washed him, you see, very simple. Man was made of clay. Red earth. Adam means red earth. Man was brought back to the clay here, what he is. He may have pretended to a lot of things. I don't say this blind man did. But the lesson is for all of us. He's brought back to the clay. Now, obedience is the point here. He put clay upon my eyes, I washed. The Lord had said, "Go to the pool of Siloam," which means sent. That's to recognize Christ as the sent one. And then to go to the pool of Siloam, sent and wash. And the result would be you receive his sight. So it's that simple. Faith can remove mountains, we learned the other night. Simple faith. It doesn't matter how much faith. Question of faith. Faith believes God's word and does it. Now the man is tested in the 17th verse. What is he going to say? "What sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes?" Now the question here is, what does this man think of Jesus? What do we think of Jesus? We're tested, not what we say. He said he is a prophet. He can say that much, but he doesn't pretend to go beyond what he knows. And that's a principle of Scripture that shows that there's life in it. And the Jews did not believe. They did not believe. Concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him and received his sight. Now, what are the parents going to say about it? The parents are being tested as to Jesus through their son. We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind, but by what means he now seeth, we know not. What an answer. Their own son, and they knew very well that Jesus had opened his eyes. But they wouldn't confess Jesus. Or who have opened his eyes? We know not. He is of age. Ask him. He shall speak for himself. Let's get on, or they won't have to witness. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. The fear of man brings a snare. And when we read these things, we say that this reflects what's in our own hearts. We may like to do different, but unless we're in communion, dependence, we cannot give the right answer. Jews have agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Now the question is, would it be better to be in the synagogue or to know the Son of God condemned? That's the question. And yet, myriads today are rejecting Christ because of some trifle. Some little thing they want to do, they want to be, to reject Christ. What an awful eternity for those who have the light and reject Christ. Now they're going to test the man again. Verse 24. But they say, we know that this man is a sinner. The man answered, whether he be a sinner or not, I know not. He doesn't go any further than what he knows. One thing I know. Now this is one of those one things of Scripture. There's five or seven, I've forgotten this. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. The inference is, they are blind, and they do not see. The Jewish nation is blinded today. There are individuals who have believed, the nation is blinded. It's a judgment of God upon those who have rejected this Christ. Judicial blindness. For a nation, the individuals who have faith and still believe. Whereas I was blind, now I see. What is faith? What it means? They want to while the time away. They don't want to face the subject. They want to while the time away, and they're set to accuse him and cast him out of the synagogue. That's what they want to do. So they ask him again. And he gives a lovely answer. I told you already. Ye did not hear, wherefore would you hear it again? Would ye also be his disciples? They didn't like that a bit. Their mind was set against Jesus. They were set against him without a cause, Scripture says. They condemned him without a cause. Now they revile him and said, thou art his disciple. We are Moses' disciples. The Lord says, man won't be judged because of what they thought of him, the Lord. He forgave that. But the rejection of the Holy Spirit is unforgivable. Testimony of the Spirit of God of Jesus. If they don't believe that, they're lost. Don't speak unto Moses, but for this fellow. What a way to speak of the Lord Jesus. We know not from whence he is. That's the question. Where did he come from? If you'll turn to the fourth chapter of 1 John, you see it's the critical question of all time. The question here is believing. First verse of John, 1 John 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit. Now what he's saying is there are prophets who come and they have the wrong spirit. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are going out into the world. Now here's the test. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And what does that mean? And you say, well, Jesus Christ was born in this world, like other men, he was born here. No, that's not the question here. a question, from whence is he? Where did he come from? And so Luke's gospel shows that he was received of the Holy Spirit. He was before, and he came from a certain place. Heaven. We didn't. We were born in this world. Our beginning was here. His beginning, there was no beginning. Hereby know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. In other words, he was there before and he came. We didn't. He's a God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even already to the world. We have the principle of Antichrist in our chapter there. These heresies. And the Antichrist will come out from among the Jews, coming in. It'll be the culmination of this unbelief. Marvelous thing that you know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Very simple, wasn't it? Now we know that God heareth not sinners. They had asked, they said he is a sinner in the verse 24. But this man says, we know that God heareth not sinners. If any man be a worshiper of God, and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? Now we referred back to the 132nd Psalm, and we saw there that when the Lord comes, he'll heal the blind, heal the blind. One of his marks, they're tested by that scripture, but they reject it. No one else has ever done this, but he did it, because he's the Creator. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. But you see, he witnesses the measuring of light that he has, but it's the test for these Pharisees. They say, you're altogether born in sins. You teach us, cast him out. How were they born? And they belong to the sinful race too, just like this poor blind man. It's the pride of the human heart, but the pride that is not true, because you have no reason to be proud. You belong to a lost race. He had confessed that he was a prophet before. He never went beyond what he knew. But now he's going to learn something else. He's going to grow. And that's what they'll do if we are faithful, we'll grow. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe? What? The prophet? No. I'm the Son of God. Now this man was ready for this. He had been tested. He's ready for this. New lights come into his life. He answered and said, who is he, Lord? Notice that word, Lord. That I might believe on him. Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and is he that talketh him. And he said, Lord, I believe, and he questions. The next chapter takes us up, I'm not going to go on, but I mean, I refer to the next chapter as the shepherd over his sheep. Here we have the first sheep brought in. I don't mean that he was the first one to say, but I mean that the picture is the first sheep in this chapter, the blind man. Then we get the subject of the sheep, shepherd and the sheep in the next chapter. The Pharisees were blind, and the Lord had come so they might see. But they said, we see already. They didn't need it. Christ says, if you were blind, you should have no sin. All you say is, we see. You're forgiven, man. For all eternity, their sin remains